Hi. So, I'm paid by IBM to work on Samba full time. Apparently, that's what I'm supposed to be able to do. Some of you may have run into me somewhere along the line, or through a sales rep or tech support somewhere, and answering your configuration questions. And that's actually what I spend most of my time doing. But last year, IBM decided. Or I should say my management decided we needed to go look at Active Directory and an alternative. I will walk you through what we went through. Why is IBM interested in Active Directory? Well, obviously, customers are telling them they want Active Directory. We want something that allows us to take advantage of the features of Active Directory. We want something that we can call Active Directory. We want something that looks and smells like Active Directory. Whatever that means. We'll get to that later. It is it's tough when IBM goes into a customer site, and we can go in and we can replace their file and print servers. And it's great. And we've got all this real expensive hardware that's we've replaced all the file and print servers, and it all goes back to this one little PC sitting somewhere in the back room running Windows 2000 server. And so for our customers, replacing the file and print server is not enough. Some customers, particularly in governments, don't want to go with what they call, what they think is proprietary software. And everyone's got their own idea of what proprietary is. But what most of these customers want is something that is called an open standard, a defined standard, well-defined standard that's been directed not by one company. Some of them want open source. Some of them don't care if it's open source, just want these standards. They want to be able to pick and choose the pieces that go into this. They don't want to have Microsoft Active Directory servers, and then Microsoft Mail servers, and then Microsoft Web servers. They want to be able to use anyone's, so long as that company follows the standard, or that project follows the standard. So my team was tasked with answering the question, what will it take to get us there? So the approach that we took is we wanted to find out as much as we could, just really getting started. We wanted to be able to go into a manager's office or the vice president's office and show them something, that we actually accomplished something. It had to be something that everyone needs to do, or at least prove that we've done something that everyone needs to do. It could not be something that looks the same as it did on NT. It can't be, well, look, I joined a domain. Well, okay, so I joined a domain. Well, I could join a domain before. Now I can join a domain through Active Directory, but to the end user it looks the same. So we wanted to be able to show that somehow this was different than it was before. And we wanted to involve more than just Samba. When I say core components, well, Kerberos, LDAP, who knows what else. So the project that we chose was to join a domain from a Windows client and find a printer through the Find a Printer interface, something you cannot do on Windows. Search is the LDAP directory. So first thing we had to figure out is what do we need? And the obvious three were these listed here. And so we started doing it, just poking around, seeing how we could put things together and figure out what else we would need. And along the way, we found that we needed more than just these three. Just to get started, the first thing you run across when you're looking at an ethereal trace of what goes on during this domain join is there's something new in DNS. It wasn't there before. Fortunately, there is a standard for this now. And it's the SRV records that you've probably seen somewhere along the line in a DNS server somewhere. It allows it allows the clients to find a specific service in a domain, in a site. The example I give here, this will find a server that can respond to Kerberos requests over TCP, and it runs on a Microsoft domain controller in the domain called mcd.home.test. Side note, Microsoft doesn't actually pay attention to that TCP part. There are many instances where you see them requesting a TCP and contacting via UDP. Just a little side note. So this was pretty easy to do. All we had to do was set up bind. Bind works works with these records, no problem. A lot of records to get straight. You have to make sure you have a lot of strange-looking things with all these long strings, GUIDs in there, and make sure you didn't get any typos. And you can pretty easily come up with a script to get all the information you need to put in there. So the next thing that we bumped into after we get past that, and we're talking to the, we found out where this, turns out this one looks up an LDAP server, the first thing it does. And so it knows now that it's talking to a domain controller, yet each domain controller runs this service called Domain Controller Location Services. The point of this is, in Active Directory, you may have an enormous domain that spans many, many sites, lots of servers, lots of domain controllers at branch locations, and you don't want to accidentally, through some strange quirk, end up talking to the domain controller on the other side of the world. You want to get to the closest one, and you want it to have the features, services turned on that you need to do the task you're doing. So it lists these services, the Kerberos Key Distribution Center, the LDAP server. Actually, it's called the directory server, and it does mean that it's not, I say that because it means it's beyond LDAP, it's not just LDAP. Global Catalog Time Services, it includes which site the domain controller is located in, and there's another flag that says this is the best or this is the closest domain controller for your client. So it's it's a great feature really can reduce the amount of network traffic overall. A little problem we ran into was that Microsoft uses a variant of LDAP v3, connectionless, which is not defined anywhere. There's an LDAP v2 standard for it. There is none for version 3. There are multiple implementations out there, and Microsoft doesn't follow any of those implementations. So, fortunately for us, Howard Chu of the Open LDAP team implemented this in this protocol and is in Open LDAP, but it requires special compilation of Open LDAP. And then it requires some plugins to Open LDAP. And it became an awful lot of work. And really, Microsoft only uses this for this one service. So there was no need to put all this additional stuff on top of it, on top of Open LDAP. So what we did was we created our own server to do this. It just responds to these kinds of requests. It parses the LDAP request that comes in, gives back the information it needs. It also turns out that for legacy reasons, Microsoft had a similar service before, just to find the domain controller for a domain that can provide logons. And we extended that. It's currently in Samba 3.0 in NMBD that has that extension in it. And it will be, the LDAP version, the connectionless LDAP version will be in Samba 4. What this does so far is it creates a basic response that we know works in the simplest of cases, which is actually the majority of cases. What we don't have at this point is we don't have sites set up in there. We have no way to configure it to do that. Pretty easy to do. Same thing with Forest. But since we don't support any of that in Samba right now, we don't really need to support those in our location services. So the next thing you run into during the domain join is the client goes and wants to get a ticket. And so this has pretty much been covered. Andrew Bartlett mentioned the new key type, and this new key type is this ARC4HMAC or RC4HMAC, depending on who you're talking to. It's out there now. It's in current releases of Heimdall and MIT. You don't strictly need it, but boy, your life's a lot easier if you have it. And in terms of upgrading, well, you absolutely will have to have it. Another piece that we heard a lot of noise about a couple of years ago was the PAC, this private field that Microsoft took advantage of, and it was open. They jumped into this opening that was left there, and put a lot of data in there. There was a lot of concern that we would have to implement this proprietary field in order to get Kerberos working with these clients. Turns out, we don't need it. We really don't need it at all. It's really nice to have. It contains a lot of user information, the groups that they're in, and a lot of the information that's stored in the user account record. And it reduces several trips to the domain controller. And that's why it's there. So we didn't worry about that. There were a lot of minor details that we had to worry about. And that is, Microsoft likes to be rather careless with their Kerberos realm names. They consider upper and lowercase to be the same thing. They consider your short domain name to be the same as the long DNS domain name, upper lowercase, doesn't matter. Well, Heimdall and MIT don't really like that. So we had to patch that a little bit. They also introduced the concept of service principal names, which takes provides alternate names, basically, for the same Kerberos principal. You can go do an LDAP search on one of your records in the directory, one of your user accounts, or especially one of your host accounts, a server account. You'll see a whole list of these that'll specify what service is running on there and the system name, the DNS domain name of that machine, the DNS host name of the machine, and then it maps it to what the actual Kerberos principal really is, and that's the traditional Kerberos user. They also implemented a password change that did not exist in kpassword traditionally, where one user could change another user's password if they had the right authority. Stuff that was easy to take care of, or for our purposes, we didn't really have to go after. The bigger, more difficult issues to solve are synchronization of these user accounts between LDAP, Samba, Kerberos, and Andrew just gave talk on a bunch of that, and his patches have made it into Heimdall, which is great. And we're hoping that we can put some pressure on MIT to put LDAP support in and a bunch of your patches. Issues that we'll eventually have to worry about is cross-realm. And that's just, well, we need someone like Jeremy to take a look at that, because there aren't too many Kerberos gurus around. So some of these problems were kind of big. We decided, we'll walk around this obstacle right now. And instead, tackle LDAP. So what we wanted to do was combine Samba with one other component first. And, we had tried Kerberos, decided that we would wait and try doing it with LDAP. So LDAP needed to be able to, the client needed to be able to authenticate to LDAP. And so, Jeremy, I have seen, under Sassel, GSS API, GSS SPNego, and Kerberos doing it that way from a Windows machine. It seems like it might be pretty nice that if you go and you look at the traces of a Windows domain controller, an Active Directory domain controller, they offer GSS API as a mechanism to authenticate. So you think, great, I can use, maybe I have to go back to Kerberos. But that's fine, I can use traditional GSS API and Kerberos to talk to this thing. Well, the clients don't know how to do that. The servers do, the clients don't. So we needed NTLM SSP support. And, I work for a big company that has restrictions on, what kinds of things I can work on the outside. And I'm allowed to work on Samba. I'm not allowed to work on Sassel. I can look at Sassel. I can provide input in Sassel. But I'm not allowed to write code there. So we approached Volker. And one of my guys did some cooperation with Volker and came up with some patches to Sassel and some changes to NTLM auth to get what we needed in there. And then Andrew Bartlett took it and ran with it and provided, a much fuller function module and extension to Sassel. As he mentioned before, that's part of Lorikeet. So we got that problem solved, at least good enough for us, for this experiment. We had to add some new syntaxes and matching rules just to get the Open LDAP schema, I mean, excuse me, the Active Directory schema to load. Really not that hard to do, but it's real specific to Open LDAP. Slappy provides an interface to do this generically on cross LDAP servers, but no two LDAP servers implement Slappy the same way. So it's it works great for Open LDAP, and that's it. There are some smaller problems we had to deal with. There are some root DSE attributes in LDAP that you just simply cannot join domain without. I mean, the Windows clients are assuming they're there. The LDAP service name is probably the first thing that you hit. And that, fortunately with OpenLDAP 2.2, can just be added in the schema files. Traditionally, OpenLDAP did not allow root DSE changes. Now it does. And it's current time, and I think also as part of Lorikeet, folks has got a patch out there to do that, a Slappy module to do that. Does anybody here not know what Slappy is? Okay. Slappy is, I don't remember exactly what it stands for, but it is a somewhat standardized, or maybe it's more like concurrent, Yes, right, maybe it is simple. It could be, it probably is simple. It provides a way to hook into LDAP servers at various points, say before a search, after a search, before and after a bind, writing data to the directory, to the actual back end. Each server, unfortunately, has its own points where it hooks in. And they're generally similar, but generally one module from a Slappy module on one server, it doesn't quite work on the other server. Oh, in OpenLDAP. Yeah, well, the Slappy interface, did you know that there is not a single product out there that has its entire Slappy interface documented? So if you want to go out and write an OpenLDAP Slappy module, you go out to the Netscape pages or the Sun pages, take a look at their API, and start trying things. And then as you start running into calls that don't work, you go back into the OpenLDAP source code and see what else they put in there. And, I mean, the OpenLDAP code is based on the code that IBM contributed from its own directory server. So you think maybe you could go in the IBM manual and look for that, and you'll find little bits and pieces of it, but that's about it. Another one of the... I'm sorry? Slappy. It's used in a lot of... It's widely used. Slappy is widely used. It's just not well documented on anyone's product. Right. Every vendor has looked at another vendor's product and said, I like this bit of it, I like that bit of it, and I want to change another piece of it. So, there's no standard, unfortunately. So, that's fine. We stuck with OpenLDAP. One of the little quirks is that Microsoft has changed this very standard piece of LDAP that's traditionally called the entry UUID. Now it's, for Microsoft, it's called the object GUID, and the clients need to be able to see that in the right format, and we use a Slappy plugin to do this. OpenLDAP already creates the data for us. They have this entry UUID. It contains the exact same data that we need, but it's in the wrong format. In one case, it's a binary string. In another case, it's a text string. So we had to make a module to convert that. And ultimately, we see LDAP as really the central piece of this. It's the point where everything gets synchronized, where all these different services come together. And you really see things like this in maybe a domain join or a user add. You will create something using RPCs, you'll change the password for it through Kerberos, modify an attribute through LDAP, you modify another attribute through RPC, it's wild. But all this can be done. All this can be done with some modifications to the components that connect to OpenLDAP. It can be done with some modifications to OpenLDAP through Slappy. One of our goals was to not modify OpenLDAP. or have our own copy. I mean, we can provide them input, ask them to change things. It is really easy to mess this part of it up. So we backed off and said, you know, maybe we should have gone back to Kerberos. That might have been a better thing. We can get our heads around that. Well, we ran into another instance here. We get pretty far through the join, and you know, everything that we used to see in a join is done, including a few other things. And then all of a sudden, we see these requests on port 135, TCP port 135. What's this stuff? Okay. Fortunately, I got Steve. Where is Steve now? Anyway, Steve is Steve French, who works with me. He's been around DCE for a while and says, oh, 135, it's the endpoint mapper. Okay. The endpoint mapper advertises and provides a mapping service to the various services running on that machine that are ready to receive requests. We see them in Samba as things like pipe LSARPC, pipe net logon. Well, on Active Directory, all those services are available not only through those named pipes, but also through TCP ports. And the service runs on a TCP port as well as through one of these named pipes. So we put some code in Samba to be able to handle it over the named pipe. We hacked things up a little bit and got this TCP port 135 listening. And the first request comes in, and it says, I want to see the net logon service, and I want to see it on TCP. So all of a sudden, now, we now have to provide all these services that Samba does already over name pipes on TCP. Well, we're not there yet on Samba, 3.0, that is. So we decided that this piece of it was going to have to wait for Samba 4.0, where it's going to be a whole lot easier because of the IDL to implement a lot of this stuff. We did finally get something to join. A very bizarre mixture of things. So we used that domain controller location services, told the client that there were no directory services running on this machine. So that took away the need for LDAP, and it turns out it also took away the need for the endpoint mapper. We modified the Heimdall KDC to handle some of these strange things about realms. We, for simplicity's sake, to get through this problem, we just used TDBSAM on Samba. And we modified Samba to give just one of these service principal names, and we made that the principal. And lo and behold, the machine joined. But we rebooted the machine, starts coming up, the little logon, this is an XP client, the logon dialog pops up there, and you go to select the domain. And the little drop-down comes out, the hourglass comes up, and nothing happens. And nothing happens. And nothing happens. After several minutes, that little drop-down box went away. So you click it again. Same thing happens again. Turns out, well, they know better. If you provided me Kerberos services, you must be an Active Directory main controller. Therefore, you must have directory services. So he keeps trying to look for those directory services. He keeps trying to contact the port 389 to talk to LDAP. He keeps trying to look up through Endpoint Mapper, the directory services that are offered over RPC. So, at this point, well, let's just say management had a change of heart about where I needed to be spending my time. So, what came out of this were a whole bunch of questions that I had to be able to answer. So I talked to my customers, and I asked them, why is it that you want Active Directory? You know, this is a really hard problem for us to solve. And, you know, most of the time they had no idea why they wanted Active Directory. They just said, you know, everybody's got it, or we just need it. It's the latest thing. Corporate IT said, we have to have Active Directory. But most often they just said, I don't know. I just know that we need it. Some of them can come up with good technical reasons why they need it. Most often they just say Kerberos, security. I want better security, so I want Kerberos. And they say single sign-on. And I have to say, my mother was a 360 assembler programmer. And from the time I was 10 years old, I've been hearing the dinner time conversations about single sign-on. And that was 22 years ago. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll get there someday. But sure, these are all valid reasons why they want it. We've got customers who want specifically group policies. They're not really concerned about all the other stuff, but what Groove Policies provides them makes management of their systems much easier. Some of them are large organizations that want to delegate and distribute the administration of their systems. They've got one corporate data center or maybe five corporate data centers, and they've got hundreds of branches. They want those branches to be able to manage their own stuff, but they also want to be able to manage them remotely. And the, you know, a lot right now, a lot of those customers have a domain back at their data center and a domain at each branch, and they do this because they have enormous, you know, they've got hundreds of thousands of users. So what they do is they set up a bunch of trusts, and it's really difficult. And then a new branch opens up, and they create a new domain, and they have to create a new trust on all the other domains that might want to go talk to that domain. And then when they just go to Active Directory, well, you know, it all just happens for them. So now's the part where you guys get to do the work. The biggest question that comes up from my higher management is, well, how much of this do we really need? Are we just following Microsoft down the path where they're going to lead us along and change things just for fun or change things for whatever reason, and we now suddenly have to change everything we've been doing so far? So are we getting the benefit of open source and open standards, or are we getting more locked in to this Microsoft world? I mean, it provides some great things, and the need we have is that we've got Windows desktops. So what features do we really need, and what does Active Directory mean? What are the benefits that you see for Active Directory? I would like some people to give me some input, share what it is that you want, what your company needs Active Directory for, and what features out of it do you want? This is interactive time. Andrew. Okay, we have Kerberos and Group Policy. So it's a lot of what I hear.
No, I don't want you. Oh. What else? Which feature do you want?
Do I have exchange requests for Exchange 2000? We get requests for Exchange 2000, but they very rarely can come up with a good reason why, other than the same old, well, we have to have it. So, I do get requests for it, or that we already have it.
Maybe we should change the marketing so everybody in the world thinks they have to have this Samba directory or whatever we call it, even if it's only open LDAP, because it's the latest, it's the newest, it's better than Microsoft's one. Everybody just wants to have it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The goal here is to get companies like IBM where they can put marketing people on something. We've got to provide that something, and we need your input because we need to know what to work on first. This is a very difficult problem to solve, and we cannot do it without knowing what to work on first. I mean, we can pick for our own purposes what we want to have work on. So we can handle the Kerberos piece of it. Great. Anybody need multi-master replication? Does anybody actually need multi-master replication? Does anybody need delegation of administration? The ability to say, I've got this domain. We got Volker. Nobody else is interested in that? Wow. That seems like a great thing to be able to do, to say, I've got my data center here, and my admins can do anything over my entire domain, and my local branch, well, they can administer their stuff too and have admin authority at that domain, but not back here at the data center. Jerry? Right. Right.
my point is persuading a Windows XP workstation that we are Active Directory, that at least from what Jim is telling us, sounds doable. It's a lot of work, but it sounds doable. Active Directory is a lot more. It's a multi-master elder. It's the management console. It's all this delegated administration stuff. And what people, I think, really need is having group policies by the workstations accepted. And that's one of the major points that kill us currently. And this does not mean that we are multi-master elder. This does not mean that we are fully compatible with the micromanagement console, that we all have these echoes on LDAP and so on. There's much more once we have provided the workstation that we are Active Directory. And having that might be a goal in itself.
Right, so that was my approach here too, was that, well, I'll explain what he said, that basically is the first release, it's like the first release of a domain controller, all you want to be able to do is authenticate. Well, I added that you have to be able to join, because somehow you have to get in the domain, and they're not going to want to run a bunch of stuff besides that. So, yeah, what we want to go after first, I think, is being able to join a domain and authenticate the users, and not get bogged down with details like multi-master. But we have to know if we have to be going in that direction, because we need to start, and this is at the end of this year, how many projects need to be involved to get something that we're comfortable with going? Because already we've got, well, if you consider just Heimdall and Open LDAP, we've got three projects. Well, now try to talk to the MIT guys and try to get some of this stuff in there. Well, they may resist you a bit. Talk to the Open LDAP guys, they may resist you a bit. Well, Jeremy. I think this guy does.
Yeah. If anyone didn't hear that, I'm asking what the exact mechanism for downloading group policies to servers is. Whether
the answer to that question was a field of LDAP database. So the key records information connects to the active directory server to the syscall directory from which active picks up the group policy information.
When you say it connects to the active directory server to the syscall, is that a share
via
connection to? And then is it loading files off that share?
Yes, it picks up files.
And they are registry files?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So that was a missing piece. So that's something that we can start working on.
Yes, yes.
It's basically very simple concept. The trouble is a lot of infrastructure, not
complex. So I think we'll have time tonight to discuss that further. I hope so. It's an important topic. Thanks again for your talk.
Yeah, please. This discussion is something that needs to go on, and it needs to go on our mailing list, and it needs to be just because I just want to say that there, part of it is implementing a domain controller, but Active Directory goes well beyond that. The concept of Active Directory goes well beyond that in customers' minds. It means having the applications that go along that tie into it working too. So you need to think about those applications.
Okay, thanks. One big applause. So now we come to the funny part again, I hope. Our surprise guest, he will speak about Samba and documentation as far as I know. And you just missed one opportunity to let me run like a fool in this room, but sorry, it's over now.